Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, audience. This is Sandra Bueno, and this is Thursday's edition of Power to Be You Blog Talk Radio. We are coming to you at 2:30. It is not the scheduled normal time. Normal time is 2 p.m. However, today we had a technical glitch where we actually got stuck out of our own radio show. So I come to you at 2:30 today. It is going to be a one-hour presentation. And today we are having a special guest. He is the founder of the Children's Coalition in West Palm Beach, Carlton Cartwright. He will be with us momentarily. However, before I get going, I'd just like to give you some background on Power to Be You, what the purpose of this show is about. Simply, it is about accountability, awareness, and empowerment. Empowerment via education. And nothing is short of our program today to say that today's program is completely about empowerment, empowering oneself, empowering others, having a vision, having a purpose, and knowing why we are doing what we are doing. Carlton Cartwright, he is the founder and executive director of the Children's Coalition, which was funded in 1993. And he is an administrative, he is a teacher, he is a visionary, he is a mentor, he is a community leader. He is someone that I have had the pleasure and the blessing of meeting and becoming involved with. I am a member of his board with the Children's Coalition, and as those of you who have been following the program, the purpose of empowerment is for us to gain that awareness that we must make a difference, and a difference must be made so that our children have a different future, that our children have a different ability to deal with what's happening today in society, with the issues that we are facing. And that will not be possible if we are unable to guide them in the right direction. So Carlton is someone that he has given of his time, he has sacrificed, he has contributed. He is an individual and a person whom I hardly regard, and just truly, truly, I am just blessed to have met him. And as you will get to hear him speak from the school that he's actually working with today, he is presently entering the Westward Magnet School out in Palm Beach. He will be working with fourth and fifth graders. He's teaching them video and photo. And that's part of his workshop through the Children's Coalition, which is about bringing still photography and videography to youth in delinquency programs. This is pretty much one of his big missions with helping kids and helping kids at the detention center in his own programming, in the after-school program, going out to different schools. And I want to take this opportunity to bring him on board and to share with us his purpose, his vision, why he is doing what he is doing, and just to give him an opportunity and a platform to be able to share with you what he sees is the need and how we as a community can rise and support this endeavor. And I'd like to take this moment to see if he is online. Carlton, are you online?
I'm here.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Well, okay, I don't want to take your time, but I do want to just bring you online and allow you to speak and to say what's on your mind and on your heart based on everything that you are doing, based on the exposure that you have with your kids. And beforehand, I'd like to thank you because I know how busy your time is, and I am definitely a fan of yours. So, you know, I want to say so much about you because your mission, your purpose, helping children to develop positive interests in the arts and express their creativity through an artistic media. That is just such a small part of what your entire program is based upon. So I would like to give you the opportunity to present yourself and what it is that you do and why it is so important that you get this out.
Sandra, I can't thank you enough for the opportunity to talk about the program and the project on public radio. I'm not going to repeat any of the things that you just said. I'm just going to go through where we're at right now. We're doing programs at Westward Elementary International Magnet in West Palm, as well as UB Kinsey Magnet Elementary School of the Arts. Also, the Roosevelt Full Service Center, which is located in the Tamarind Corridor near Dunbar Village, as well as the 45th Street Detention Center. And we also have a group of kids that we get out of the Tamarind Corridor, about 30 kids out of the neighborhood there for our after-school program. What I've been doing for the last, I guess, 18 years is compiling information on doing a project, and we filed for our 501c3 back in 1993 and got it in 1994. And since then, I've been trying to come up with a plan to, you know, build a facility where a lot of kids who can't learn in regular educational settings where they can come and they can incorporate or cultivate skills that will enable them to become independent and productive citizens in our country or in the world. So I've been a photographer for 28 years. I'm ex-military, and I'm also just finishing my bachelor's degree. I consider myself a lifelong student. I've taken a lot of courses for the military and for corporate America, and I'm just finishing my own bachelor's degree at Palm Beach Atlantic University in Organizational Resources Management. As a leadership program there, I'll probably pursue next year for my master's degree. But at any rate, the focus is to work with a lot of these kids inside and outside the juvenile justice system to keep them from either entering into the system or cutting the recidivist rate, whereas maybe they wound up in the system on the wrong side of the law, and we found a way to keep them from going, being recommitted back into juvenile, into the detention arena. There's just so much to be said about what they need, and that's the real solution, is answering the call or answering the call to what their needs are. A lot of these kids come from single-parent families, or, they don't really understand what the concept of family is. And somewhere, adults who have been successful or, you know, just have achieved a certain amount of success in life, you know, so many of us have survived our own childhood. And what we need to do is we need to give something back. And that is going to be the saving grace. It's not rocket science. You know, it's not where we have to reinvent the wheel or anything. But one of the things I think that we forget is that somebody was there for us when we were growing up to help us get on the right path. And, you know, that's a real basic concept, being there for the next person. Hi, how are you? So I think we often tend, I know I did for a long time, you know, it's been a complete learning experience for me. You know, I didn't find this path until I was 37. And, you know, I've done just a lot of mentoring combined with a lot of teaching, combined with, you know, taking kids across country as far northwest as Utah and Colorado Springs and Denver and Chicago and up to Washington to visit with congressmen and U.S. senators, as well as to Tallahassee also. You know, getting kids introductions to the rest of the world is a major key. Showing them that what they're caught up in, or the little micro or macro that they live in their own neighborhood, that just isn't all that there is to life. We need to do things to broaden their horizons and show them that they can succeed and show them that they can be all that they can be without, you know, becoming criminals. You know, we've got a lot of success that we've all grown up with, but you know, opportunities can be thin. You know, they can be scarce, and you know, each individual in the community, if they give up just a part of their time to reach back and help, you know, one or two of these kids, it means so much. It has such an impact, and I don't think we're always aware of that. Sometimes we feel like, oh well, you know, I'm not going to be able to spend enough time doing that, or you know, I won't be able to see this all the way through. You know, we all hopefully come from a circle or a group of friends, and if we all just spend a little bit of our time, before you know it, one or two of these kids wind up with a good support group that will, you know, show them, you know, that they can get through, they can succeed, they can become independent, they can stay out of trouble. Your turn, Sandra.
Now, some of the kids that you work with, I know that you work between, because I've seen them. I've actually been out of the Children's Coalition Center in West Palm Beach, and I was introduced to the children that were basically from the age of 5 all the way up to about the age of 15, I believe, on that specific day. Then we went to the Juvenile Justice Center, where we saw children from 11 up to about 17. What would you say is the community right now, people that are listening, as this goes out, as people download this podcast, and the people get to hear you again speaking, what would you need to have in your in the coalition that could definitely propel you and help you even further to reach your goals with helping these children?
To answer you very, very specifically, we're negotiating with the city of West Palm Beach right now a space that will give us about 4 or 5 times the space that we have, take us from about 1,250 square feet to 5,500 square feet. The thing that is needed the most is a lot of these kids want to work. So they're looking for apprenticeship programs is the best thing in the world for these kids, to teach them, help them out with their academics while they're finishing school. At the same time, teach them a trade or something, or give them something to do that is productive where they can, you know, pick up a stipend, at least, at the very least, a stipend, if not a regular part-time job, you know, where they're making some money. Show them, give them some ownership, some responsibility, some accountability. Start teaching them those things early so they can, you know, get the feel for what it's like to have to work for a living. Our thing happens to be computers, video, cameras, digital education, and broadening their horizons as far as any field trips we can take them to environmental education centers, wildlife and marine life, zoos and centers like that, and a lot of interaction. Helping them mentor, teach them how to mentor with kids their age. You know, you might have some teenagers that are mature enough to mentor with kids older than them. So older and younger. And, you know, again, you know, the deliverables are giving them activities that will make them accountable and responsible.
I know that when I went with you to the Juvenile Detention Center, that it was an incredible experience to see a 17-year-old kid who seemed to not really care about what was being transmitted to him. And the minute you mentioned the possibility of working, his entire state just changed, and immediately he became a different person because it had that element of faith, of hope, of something different that they could aspire to. And that's why I want you, you know, when you speak to the audience, to definitely impart that. Because I like what you said, what you're saying, people can contribute, even if it's just an hour of their time, and in making a difference for these children. I know that, you know, for me, the importance of who you are to these kids is amazing. It's, you know, you are a life source to them, because you are constantly, from the morning to the night, you are working with them, you're working for them, you're sacrificing. I mean, to me, I highly respect you, and to me, it is an honor to know you and to join you in getting this out there and in being a part of contributing to their growth, or at least their expansion. Now, what is can you give everyone your website and give everyone your information so they can contact you directly if they need
you? Sure. The website is real simple. It's www.tcci, it's the initials of the company, www.t as in Thomas, Charlie I, PBC, like Palm Beach County, .org. Again, that's TCCIPBC.org. And the phone number is 561-832-3797. You know, what we need to remember is a lot of these kids who get into trouble, they are born entrepreneurs. And if we can teach them how to make money legally versus, you know, you have to realize a lot of kids step out there trying to make money. And if we teach them the legal way, the honest way, with the ethical way, with values versus what they're going to learn in the street, you know, we're all going to be a lot better off. They will, you know, a lot of them, if they feel like if they made a mistake, they don't have an opportunity to go back and get a regular job. We need to, you know, add in some forgiveness here, forgive them for what they've done, show them how to do things differently, and, you know, be there for them and walk them through the process of getting on the right side of the law. Again, I can't say enough about, you know, the young entrepreneurs and their willingness. You know, they want to work. They want to earn money. Mm-hmm. And, I've been working since I was 12 years old. You know, one of the things about Florida is I think the legal age now, maybe it's changed with the whole country, I'm not sure. But in New York City when I was growing up, the legal age was 12 to work. And here I think it's 14. And, you know, these kids, they want to do things. And I think that we should be there to help them do that, make that connection, you know, instead of just,
thinking that there's nothing that can be done.
Playing video games and being out on the street and, you know, not doing anything.
That's redirecting the energy. That's definitely using what they have and redirecting it, like you say. Now, you work with alternative education as well. How do you feel that's an element in this as the way to go forward?
You know, I don't think that school or law enforcement is anything to be critical of. I think that we need to realize that people in the community comprise the school board as well as law enforcement. The community and law enforcement and the educational system need to be there working together to make to make a difference. Okay, I don't think that any one entity can do it by itself.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of opportunities in education, and the only, you know, we have to, you know, alternative education is just another solution that where it needs to bond with the community. Law enforcement is not the end all when kids make a mistake. When they're locked up, we need to be working with kids so they don't become career criminals, if you follow what I'm saying. So, again,
yeah,
that partnership needs to be readdressed and built. I know there's a lot of things that the school board and law enforcement are doing in the community, and, you know, they always need to remember that parents need to be involved in children's lives, whether they're incarcerated or if they're in alternative ed, plus in every other way. So, you know, there needs to be more incorporation of the entire community, period.
Wow, that is greatly said, Carlton. Well, I know that right now you're in school, and I told you I wouldn't keep you long, so I wholeheartedly appreciate it. I thank you, and I can just say that after you hang up, I'm going to be taking some calls, but in any event, you know that I support you, I back you up, and you have my vote. So not only that, but you have my voice. So
okay.
I thank you, Carlton. You're welcome. Bye, Carlton.
Bye.
Okay, audience. Well, that was Carlton Cartwright, and I didn't even have a chance to, I didn't want to take his time, but I didn't have a chance to read you his vision statement, but I'd like to take some time now to do so, as this is highly important, because basically what he is doing, what he has been doing with the children that he works with his organization, and in the community that he is moving, he is bringing awareness and focus to an issue that is working predominantly throughout our society. This is an issue, the issue of children, the issue of children not relating or not communicating with families, of families not watching over their kids, of kids having to grow up on their own, of kids going down the wrong path and ending up in the juvenile detention system and then continuing on and becoming incarcerated, and kids not caring or not wanting to continue, or kids feeling that nobody cares for them and acting out. And all of these different elements really come down to a focus that demands our attention. It demands our action to say there is an issue, but there are also solutions. It's not just a matter of us as a society to look at something and think that nothing can be done. When I started this radio show, I mentioned that we have choices, that we have choice of meaning, and that we have a choice of being able to take whatever comes our way and making something different of it. And in the absence of an adult or of a leader or of a visionary or a mentor that can help a child look at their situation and turn it around to show them the other side, the flip side of the coin, then this child is obligated to accept that circumstance as a potential lifelong mission. And this is what Carlton is speaking of, about children needing to have someone there to guide them, to help them, to give them alternatives, to help them redirect their energy. Like he said, you know, a lot of these kids are entrepreneurial, and that is such an amazing concept to keep in mind, because we are in a different era. We are in a different century. This is exactly what I've been saying about us being in the new millennium, where we are bombarded by all of these different elements that, whether we like it or not, we are picking up on all these symbols, these signals. We are picking up on technology. We are picking up on advance. We are picking up on globalization. And all of a sudden, kids, they're ready to go. They're born ready. You look at a baby today and you see their eyes. Their eyes are open from day one. Go back 20, 30 years back. When you see the baby, it takes him a few days to open up his eyes. Today, a newborn, it looks like he's already a 2 or 3 week old born child. And that is something for us to be aware of, to say kids today are being born at a different rate, with different awareness, with a different sense of purpose, a different sense of meaning, and we are not equipped as a society predominantly to deal with how fast they are moving. We are unable to get to their point, and because we are not equipped to deal with them, or we don't have the right resources and the right education or the right re-education, or we haven't advanced ourselves in learning what else is there, what other tools are there to help us, then we actually become kind of opponents. Well, you don't agree with what I'm saying. Well, I don't agree with who you are. Well, I don't agree with what you're presenting. Well, you're a child. Therefore, what you're saying may not really be logical or may not really be correct or may not really be acceptable because I am the adult, and therefore I know that what I say is right. Now, a lot of people may actually argue against me, specifically people who are in a higher level of education or in a higher level of degrees. But all you have to do is don't even look at me. Look at the situation out there. Take any given school. Look at families. When you go out to a restaurant, look around you and look at the interaction between parents and kids. You know, sit there and look at that. Look at your own families. I have a child and I see what's going on in my home. I see under my own roof what happens with my son because of what I am doing or not doing. I see how he speaks to me, what he tells me, what he demands of me. And today, you can't fool the kids. And that, I think, it's a big part of it, that kids are aware, but because they are children, they're not able to determine what it is that they want. They want more, but they don't know. And if we as adults don't know how to provide that for them, if we do not know how to engage their minds, if we do not know how to keep them occupied, if we do not know how to come in and excite their curiosity, then kids start wandering off, wondering what to do, wanting to hang out with their friends, wanting to do things that necessarily may look interesting simply because they are different or because they are challenging. You know, these are circumstances and situations that are plaguing everyone, no matter what your race, what your color, what your economic background. This is happening to our society, and we are responsible to make a difference. We must make a difference. You know, and I say we, and I include myself in the we, because, yes, that's what my mission is, to make a difference, to empower others, to help. And I'm only able to do that based on how I've trained myself, based on my own discipline, based on my own commitment, based on my own desire to continue going forward, to continue moving forward. Being a life learner, like Carlson says he is a life learner. He is doing his bachelor's, and he's as we speak, he is already compiling his thesis for his doctorate. He already has it. He doesn't even need to write it. It's already written for him based on his grant proposals that he's written, based on his mission to make the Children's Coalition be a support network for so many kids and under so many different programs. He walks the talk from the moment that he awakens to the night. He is working on this. And that is what I am telling you as an audience member, that there is something for all of us to do. In one way or another, we are all part of this race. We are all part of this humanity. We are all part of this century. And what we do today or what we do not do today is going to affect us 30 years down the road or 40 years down the road. And if you yourself will say, let's say you are someone already in middle age, and let's say you say, well, you know, this is not going to affect me, I don't care. I'm sure you're not alone. I'm sure you're not living by yourself. I'm sure you know some people. I'm sure you know some people who have children. Maybe you might have a niece or a nephew, or you might be a grandparent, or you might know a neighborhood kid. Those are the kids that are going to suffer 30 and 40 years down the road because we never planted for them the seeds of greatness, because we never planted for them a vision to evolve, to create, to be better than who we are today. And all we need to do is go back 100 years to 1907, go back and study the events of those times, go back and study the leaders or the opposers who did not, or renegades who did not commit to what was being given out, or the heroes, or the inventors, We need to go back then and recognize that thanks to all those people 100 years ago, you and I, today, we can have the comfort of what we have. We can have the ease of communicating. All of everything that we have came to us because people stood apart from the crowd and said, you know what, I believe that this can be created, or I believe that I can contribute in this way, or I believe that this has to change, or I believe that this is not right, or somebody has to make a difference, and if not me, then who's going to do it? So what I have to say now is, if not you, then whom? If not now, then when? Today we have an amazing opportunity to be able to take the future in our hands and devise it the way we want to. We need to become aware. We need to become accountable for where we are. We need to not hide behind the doors or the door front of our homes, turning on the TV to get some more reprogramming that does not serve us. I ask you truly to look at that. Look at your own lives and what you do inside of your own home. Look at what you do when you're at the dinner table. Look at how you speak to your friends, what you speak about. Look at how you speak to your husband or your wife. Are you friends? Are you casual acquaintances? Or do you truly have that spirit that you're sharing your life with someone whom you are thankful to have in your life, whom you can dream about your future with? Can you honestly sit there and love where you're at and love your environment and be happy with the vision of tomorrow? I mean, these things are basic. These things are basic needs, almost, I would want to say. Because as human beings, with a heart that's beating, that's what we want. But when we're so busy trying to achieve all these other things, trying to acquire so much material wealth, trying to have the next TV or the next cell phone or the next car that comes out, or trying to spend all our money going out to eat, then we come back to the seat of our soul. We come back where we sit with ourselves. And whatever we feel inside truly tells you where you're at. For me, this is a very important point to bring across, which I wholeheartedly believe that we must make a difference. We need to make a difference so that we can have a different tomorrow. Kids are wanting it. They are needing it. They are asking for it. And we are not doing a very good job at protecting them. We need to start contributing. We need to go to our PTA meetings to show the parent, the teachers, that we care. We need to start being involved in our kids' programs. Start being involved in looking at their agenda and looking at their homework and sitting down with them to find out where they are at, to find out if they can read, to find out if they can write their name. Because when these children go to school, these teachers expect them to be ready, to know. These teachers are overwhelmed with agendas. They are overwhelmed with lessons that they must comply with. They do not have time to single out one child and devote an entire class to them. I've spoken with some teachers, and I've been in situations where it has been said that teachers today are being given the entire duty of taking care for a child, not only in their academic endeavors, but in their personal endeavors, in their values, in their upbringing, in their manners. And that is something that cannot be. If we can't assume that responsibility for our kids, then I'm about to say something that I may be criticized over. But why have kids? Why do it? Having kids is more than just having the baby. Having kids is a lifelong responsibility that must be undertaken with responsibility. We must understand that once we bring a child into the world, we are ethically and morally obligated to take care of this child, to see for their future, to see for their well-being, to sacrifice. And I can tell you from experience that this was my path. I had to tell myself that once I had a child, that it was no longer about me. And it took me close to a year to get over that. I had to tell myself, this is not about you. You now have a child, and you must put him first. And I can tell you that today, I have help. I thankfully have my mother, who has always been there to help me. And I am here talking to you today because she has always supported my endeavors. And my endeavors have always been to make a difference, and making a difference to support children. And I will tell you that as I stand here today speaking to you, my child is not with me. My child is oftentimes by himself with my mom, because I am sacrificing to bring this forth to you. And that hurts to say that, but I will tell you that I am also teaching him so that he can grow up knowing that he has a responsibility to contribute, that he has to be in gratitude for what he has in life, that he has to recognize that he is a child that is gifted by everything that has been laid out for him and by the opportunities that even at such a young age he has already had. And I will, if you're listening to me, I will say, yes, life is not easy. And yes, we are challenged. And yes, there are difficulties. And certain things may happen that we may say, you know what, why did this happen to me, and this is not right, and I don't deserve it. But if you align yourself with a higher spirit, if you align yourself to the purpose that God has laid us upon this earth to complete and to do, you will understand why that experience came to you. With alignment to a higher purpose, you will be able to experience peace, to experience rest, to experience tenderness and love in moments where you would otherwise have anger, pain, rage. And again, I tell you this because of my own experience. Having been through it, and at times still going through it, because that is just our human condition. We will always go through a journey. And the further you get, the further you go. The further you go, the wider the journey. The more you will see, the more you will find, the more evolution you will have. If you look around and you look at people who seem to be so discontent, who are disheartened, who just do not care about anything around them, Look at them. Watch them. Watch what they do, where they go. Watch how they do it. And then tell me, or ask yourself, are they accomplishing things? Are they learning new subject matter? Are they contributing? Are they entertaining themselves with new things, with new projects, with new languages, with new music? Do they have goals? Most of the time, these people that seem to not care about anything around them, they are in a state of being where they are limiting themselves simply by what they're focusing on. And rather than focusing on something that's going to propel them forward and that's going to empower them, they choose to do the opposite. They choose to do the opposite because it is easier to sit and to complain and to curse everyone else around you and to blame everyone else around you for your own misery than it is to look in the mirror and to look at yourself and say the honest truth about all that you are and all that you're not doing. And that takes me to the next point, which is about our ability for introspection, for looking into ourselves and really seeing who we truly are at the core. I told you guys at the beginning of our Power to Be You talk radio that this show is about learning about yourself, about harnessing the power to be yourself, about learning who your authentic self is, about having the courage of honesty with yourself. Before you can move forward, you must be willing to look at yourself and claim where you're at. No one else can do it for you. This is your unique privilege and your unique test. Like I said, it's not easy. We can lie to everyone else, but we can't lie to ourselves. That's what's very ironic as well. Because the more we lie to others, I think the more introspective one becomes, because one knows that the more we lie, the wider the distance between the truth and the lie. And it is our ability to pull that lie forward into our hearts and into our souls and truly feel that pain that we have within us, that we must feel in order to make a change, in order to jump out of that bucket and to say, you know what, enough is enough. I am a new me. I am a new person. Or I am letting my real person come out. I am tired of that fake thing that I've been in the past. I am breaking out of my own shell. I am stepping out of my own harness. Oftentimes, I have used that image of me stepping out of one of those suits. One of those suits that they wrap people who are in the mental institution in. I see myself stepping out of it with a zipper right up front and then just stepping out of it and leaving it behind me. We started out today's show highlighting the Children's Coalition and the founder, Carson Cartwright, because he embodies everything that I believe in. can use one person who believes in his purpose and in his mission. A person with so much passion that you have to move out of his way because the passion precedes him. It is thick, it is energetic, it is contagious. It is just crazy to see him operating. And it is all for a cause to help others. It is all for a cause to transform situations. It is all for a cause to provide love to souls that otherwise would be neglected if he were not there. And this is just one individual making a difference. One individual who is there, rolling up his sleeves, carrying on, picking up that cross, so to say. Because when you have a vision and a mission, nothing will stop you. With a vision and a mission, you will survive difficulty. With a vision and a mission that awakens you in the morning or in the middle of the night, you will have definiteness of purpose. And with that definiteness of purpose, you will figure out a way. You will tap on doors, and even if they're slammed on your face, you will keep on moving to the next door. When you're embarrassed, you'll just brush it off and keep on walking. When you're in doubt, you will just pray. And you'll come out of that doubt. With a vision and with definiteness of purpose, you'll persevere until your vision becomes real. And I can tell you this, because I am living through it. I can tell you that it is not about your condition. It's not about your economic wealth. It's not about who you know. It's first and foremost about you. About you allowing yourself to be you. About you allowing yourself to believe that you have a special mission, that you were gifted when you were born, that God created you to be something magnificent in this world. And I truly believe that it is when we are not in sync with that higher purpose that we struggle through life. Because as human beings, we were constructed to evolve, to grow, to create, to experience, to live life fully, to enjoy life for all it has, to embody beauty, to embody love, to embody creation, to have greatness. And some people can be cynical and say, yeah, right. Some people could be hurting so much inside because their dreams were crushed, because somebody told them they weren't good enough, because somebody stepped on their dreams and their visions when they were little, because somebody hurt them. And maybe because of that, they created a shell around themselves, a shell to protect them. And they felt that it was better to not love anything. That way it couldn't be taken away. If you don't love anything and you don't attach yourself to anything, then no one has anything over you. But there will always be that pain inside. I will say that we must be willing to change. We must be willing to move forward. I don't know if I'm still online, but if I am, I just want to say that we have a responsibility to help one another, and we have a responsibility to be the best that we can be. And we must be willing to take the good and the bad and learn from the bad and move forward with the good. And we need to move forward believing that we can make a change, because after all, we are the ones that created the circumstance and the situation. Nothing that we are living in just happened to fall. Someone created it, and then someone accepted it, and then someone brought it in, and then someone purchased it, and someone applied it, and someone bartered with it. And amongst that someone, someone rejected it. So we must move forward. And we must do it to save lives. We must do it because we need to. This is Sandra Bueno from Live and Learn Enterprises and the Power to Be You. Until next time.